21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
It's all about soul. It's all about faith and a deeper devotion. It's all about soul. 'Cause under love is a stronger emotion.
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer and Anita Brockington, our engineer. Last hour, we were joined by Patricia Wood, founder and executive director of Grassroots Environmental Education, and we discussed 5G in general, a bit about states that have recently passed resolutions or laws to study the health and environmental effects of 5G technology. We looked a bit at some of the impacts of wireless radiation on wildlife, the environment at large, and human health. We talked a bit about the small cell transmitters in the National Environmental Policy Act, as well as the fundamental issues this technology poses not only to our health, but to the stability of the ecosystem. Joining us this hour is Theodoro Scarrato, Executive Director of the Environmental Health Trust. Theodoro is a well-known expert and activist in the community of global spokespeople on the issue of 5G, its threats to all life on Earth, and what each of us can do to restore our right to a healthy planet and healthier lives. Theodora will walk us through a variety of 5G topics, including the National Institutes of Health study on cell phone radio frequency radiation, how to reduce exposure at home, and why we will look at some general trends again, why 5G is fundamentally different from prior technology rollouts of cell phone and other internet data-based realities. Thank you for joining us, Theodora.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, why don't you talk to us a bit about your organization and what it is at Environmental Health Trust that you do?
Great. So our website is ehtrust.org, and Environmental Health Trust is now a decade old. We, Dr. Deborah Davis, who is one of a scientist who's long worked on environmental health risks, preventable health risks, along with Dr. Herbermann, founded Environmental Health Trust. And I have to say, it has been, I've been working with EHT for several years now, and I'm just honored to be working with some of the most eminent scientists who are experts on cell phone radiation and wireless in the world. Our scientific advisors publish research and educate policymakers. We also develop educational campaigns, both in the United States, and support experts all over the world who are interested in this issue and communities who want to get educated. And we present to policymakers, both in the United States and internationally.
So give us an overview. I mean, we have to assume that while some of our listeners may have heard last hour with Patricia Wood and her discussion of 5G technology and what's so radically different, why don't you give us the overview for those who are just tuning in?
Okay, great. So 5G is the technology, the wireless technology, which is going to connect the Internet of Things. It's everything we have now that's wireless and so much more, because right now we have our phones, which connect to a variety of things, phone to phone. Sometimes some people have phone to dishwasher, et cetera. This is going to be phones to so many devices, and then machine-to-machine communication, where there are self-driving cars. In agriculture, there are plans. There's actually, I don't know if you saw the farmers who are fitting cows with virtual reality, where you put the cell phone in something and put it up to the cow's eyes because the cows are unhappy on the farms. And so they're putting in virtual reality and testing out their technology on the cows. So there's this whole new infrastructure, which will have antennas closer to humans than ever before, antennas in front of your home, in the right-of-way, on community buildings, the satellites, Did you talk about the satellites?
Yes, we mentioned it a bit, but we'll come back. I mean, we have time to go over all of them. And the phones themselves, the 5G phones, will have these tiny little transmitters in them, antennae,
right,
that we don't currently have in our phones.
That's right. And it has, just like the technology we have, the wireless technology we have now, there was no pre-market safety testing. There's no post-market surveillance when there are effects. It's not like there's a database where they're keeping track of people who are calling in with problems they're having from exposure to this technology. And there isn't even any authority. There is no health and safety agency in the United States with a budget or authority to even be looking at the impacts to, for example, bees and birds, wildlife, in addition to human health from these antennas. It's a complete a dropping of the ball here in the United States. So we are raising awareness in every way we can on this. And it's been incredible, the amount of awareness in the just in the last few years. People are really, as antennas, as communities start to be really forced in some instances to be having these antennas in neighborhoods, people are starting to learn about it. And when they learn what is going on in the science, there's been a lot of organizing, as I know you probably heard from Patty Wood.
Yeah, and we'll continue to look at some of those things. But, you know, this whole paradigm shift of this thinking that this is the direction the whole planetary society needs to go, as if we have to have the Internet of Things, as if we have to have faster wireless, as if we have to have it available in the Arctic, as if we have to have it when we're out on the ocean. I mean, having smart homes, smart businesses, smart highways, smart cities. So it's not just the technology. It's this notion that all things wireless are the direction the world needs to go, as if this is some fundamental human necessity, which we know it's not. It's an artificial fabrication by corporations, the military, and those who will benefit by A, control over all information, control over all life, and control over what life survives and what life doesn't. And people say, well, Zoe, you sound really radical. But when you look at the science of what they're talking about, you know, of new 5G base stations on Earth, millions of them, 20,000 more satellites in space, 20 billion transmitting objects. And they're talking by 2020, 1 trillion objects a few years later. And the frequencies, again, are microwave frequencies that we know already do harm to life forms, all life forms.
Right. I mean, the industry is manufacturing this quote-unquote need in a lot of instances, and it's being promoted for, you know, oh, for healthcare, we need to have this, when actually a lot of what is being, at least in terms of what people are using, is video, uploading and downloading videos even. I mean, what a lot of this we can be doing in so much safer ways.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to be this network that they are, that they have designed, and really they're testing it out to see what works. They're testing it out in schools. They're testing it on the cows. They're trying different things in different cities. But what they want is to have their equipment everywhere so that they can test any way they want. I mean, I know this conversation, so you sort of hit on the insurance issue, the insurance authorities rate 5G as high risk. So if you saw the Swiss Re report in 2019...
Yeah, talk to us about that. I posted something about that on my website and Facebook, and you know, people saw people in Switzerland already protesting where they've rolled some of this out and they're getting sick and it's obvious.
Yeah, so I can talk about I'll talk about Switzerland, actually. But let me, so it's all connected, because in Europe, where some of the country, where they have the precautionary principle enshrined in as part of their policy, we, United States, allows far higher levels of radiation in comparison to many other countries, especially several European countries. And in those countries, in order to fully roll out 5G, industry is saying that they have to change those countries' laws in order to fully deploy 5G as they want and allow more radiation. And in many of those countries, there are massive protests. Gosh, in Switzerland, Ireland, Italy, where in Italy there are over 68 cities that have passed stop 5G resolutions or called for more moratoriums, or mayors have issued statements, or there have been resolutions passed that we shouldn't roll this out until we know it's safe. And in Switzerland, in Switzerland most recently, they had several cantons that have said no more new antennas until we know more about the health and safety issues. And they actually just released, they put together a task force. Now, the challenge is, as there always is with these task force, is who is on the task force making the decisions. And what ended up happening was there was industry representatives connected to industry on the task force, scientists who were also had connections to industry loyal groups, but they ended up not agreeing. And they didn't have a definitive direction because there were so many opinions and analysis of the information, and they put forward several possibilities that policymakers could take. But they certainly didn't say it was safe. In fact, no one actually says this technology is safe. They might say it's not been proven not to be not, you know, that it's not safe. The Swiss Re report I was referring to is actually an insurance authority, and they have rated 5G as a high-impact emerging risk affecting property and cause, you know, claims in more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they specifically say the potential claims for health impairments may come with a long latency, meaning it can take years before you start to see all those claims. But in the United States, cell phone carriers, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, they can't even get insurance coverage for if someone sues because they have a brain tumor, because the insurance companies have pulled out years ago, considering it too high of a risk.
Because we already know that's what's happening. You know, tumors are coming from this kind of radiation. I mean, the idea that we'll tolerate tens to hundreds of times more radiation at millimeter wavelengths is based, and I remember Arthur Furstenberg's beautiful paper on the international appeal, Stop 5G on Earth and in Space, talked about its faulty modeling of the human body as like this homogeneous liquid. But what we find is that these millimeter waves do penetrate beyond the skin, and it does affect nerves and blood vessels, and it changes the water itself, which we are made primarily of. And we know it goes through the blood-brain barrier. We already know the damage that comes from this. And yet, when you go into a city and you say to your mayor, we don't want this, and you present papers which they won't take the time to read. Talk to us a bit about some of, well, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I know you're involved with Montgomery County and Maryland and the D.C. community and helping those close to my hometown stop this. And I want some of our listeners who are some local listeners to understand that they can do something. They don't just have to sit and wring their hands. They can take action and be part of the solution. If you're just joining us, our guest is Theodora Scarrato, and she is the Executive Director of Environmental Health Trust. It's a scientific think tank with some of the leading experts on 5G and wireless internationally. You can learn more at their website, www.ehtrust.org. That's ehtrust.org.
This is James DiMeo of the Orgone Biophysical Research Laboratory. You can find my books at Amazon and other kinds of websites. The last name is DeMeo. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Thank you.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio and our two-hour special on 5G technology, why it's so dangerous, why it should be stopped, and why health impact studies and environmental studies need to happen, even though what we already know shows such damage. You know, again, I want to point you to 21stcenturyradio.com, and you can see a link there for International Appeal, Stop 5G on Earth and in Space. And I encourage all of you to read it, because Arthur Furstenberg and the others internationally working on this have made very clear that non-thermal effects are what we're talking about. And the old standards were thermal effects, which this does not, you know, it's far worse than that, because duration of exposure has to be considered. There'll be more transmissions. It will be continuous day and night without cessation. It will it'll change bandwidth, modulation, waveform, pulse width. I mean, we're talking about such a fundamental change on planet Earth and in our ionosphere and in our magnetosphere. And so and the Schumann resonance. We're talking about such a broad scale change for the entire planetary systems, including those of us that live on planet Earth, including animals and insects, etc., that 5G is not just a new cell phone technology, ladies and gentlemen. It is an entire shift for the entire planet and a concept of where we should go as a humanity on planet Earth. And I think that's the simplest way to put it, because I get all tongue-tied in all the details. So our guest, Theodora Scarrato, who is the Executive Director of Environmental Health Trust, which is a scientific think tank with some of the leading experts globally on 5G, is with us this hour. You know, one of the things maybe, Theodora, you could talk to us about are the primary concerns you all have. I mean, I'm sort of like thumbing through all these papers and going, oh, my God, look at this. Oh, my God, look at that.
You know, I have to say, I feel the same way. I mean, there are so many. There's something for everyone. There's all of the health issues that we're talking about in terms of the radiation, these are new frequencies, which are going to be added into what we already have. 5G is going to use the current frequencies we have and also add in the higher ones. Then there's a different way. There's more antennas, so there's just going to be more of it. And then it's really a different technology in the way it's going to be delivered. They're going to be using different kinds of antennas. There's something called a phased array antenna, which has multiple radiating elements, almost like it's really multiple antennas within the one fixture. And they each connect, like, to your device, kind of like if you can just imagine a flower with many, a flower isn't a good analogy, but each one goes to each cell phone. And this connection can be intense from the phone or the device to the antenna. And something that the European Commission pointed out, which is really important, is that with 5G, with the new way that they're delivering it and the new antennas, they can't completely figure out how to even measure properly. Because if you have, if you just imagine points zigzagging around from these, you have like 100 radiating antennas in one fixture, how do you measure that? Where do you put the meter? How do you know there might be a point where there's a higher level from where the different frequencies are together? And then when frequencies come together, actually new things happen that are unexpected.
And uncharted territory. I mean, you know,
yes,
I think one of the basics is wavelengths, if you've never studied any of this, and I did only modestly, are proportionate to frequency. And so the higher the frequency, which these will be between 3 kilohertz to 300 gigahertz, we're talking about millimeter waves, you need a lot more transmission in order to get the distance, because the higher the frequency, the shorter the distance. And that's why they need so many thousands and thousands and thousands of these antennas and transmitters, because it's a higher frequency and it travels shorter distances. Is that a simple way to put it?
Yes. Although I have to say there are some companies that are actually using lower frequencies in order to go that further distance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really putting it all in. It's like, it's not like they're swapping something out for something else.
It's
they're
adding
a whole mm-hmm. lot more. And your phone will be able to go from 4G to 5G and flip back, depending on where you are. And I think we hit on this in terms of the impact to Earth and wildlife, but think about the bees. So there was a research study that looked at, okay, if we're going to use higher millimeter waves and submillimeter waves, well, how will that affect insects? And they found that as the frequencies got higher, that the rate of absorption into the insects got extremely higher, so much so that the writers warned that this could affect their behavior and their physiology because of the dielectric heating. So if we have hundreds of antennas, I know in our community in Montgomery County, there are applications that are hundreds of applications. What will that mean if there's a whole circumference around each antenna? The bees and birds are going to be flying there. They're not going to be down on the ground. I'm not saying it's safe to be down on the ground. I'm saying that there's all of this new space that is taken up. And then, of course, we have the satellites in space that will be emitting these frequencies, which uniquely affects insects. And without bees, where are we humans without our food supply? Of course, they're starting to make, they're making mechanical bees.
Yeah,
aware of that.
Mm-hmm. And hand pollinating and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But the reality of this, particularly when they're doing the satellite delivery and increasing that, it affects the entire planetary stability, not mm-hmm. just us down here in our homes. Mm-hmm. And it's unavoidable. That's the problem, is that it is unavoidable. And that's why those who are recommending, if it's not going to be, wired technology and it's going to be wireless, that it needs to be, it has to be in places where it's notified, out of the public traffic space, out of wildlife areas, out of nature preserves, et cetera, et cetera. And yet that's not the view of technology. The technology and the technocrats think it's good for everybody, everywhere, all the time, with no ability to avoid it. And that's new.
I know. Well, I know that we submitted when they were putting up new installations in Yellowstone just last week. In many parks now, there are proposals to put up infrastructure, meaning cell towers and antennas, and there is no place that is going to be untouched with satellites. So it's pretty, I work on this all the time. I breathe this morning to night, and I still find myself shocked at times, but all the more important to be getting people educated about this issue and just getting them inspired to do something.
So
because we really can fix this.
Well, talk to us about what people are doing, because you are involved with Montgomery County and the D.C. community, and they are trying to put a hold on this.
Well, it's interesting. So in Montgomery County, there is a large group of people educated and opposed to the antennas. And what happened was, two things happened. In one community, I think it was going to be a test bed for the infrastructure. In North Potomac, they had permits to put in dozens of quote-unquote small cells, which are the short, taking a street light and making it up to 6 feet higher and putting antennas on top. But this particular community had everything undergrounded. So people were waking up to cement in the ground, a pole, and it was getting prepped for an antenna in their front yard where they had nothing, no utility poles. And they became educated on this and said, wait a minute, you know. I mean, then there's the issue of property values. We haven't even touched on that. Like, would you really buy a house with an antenna in front of it, or would you choose the house that didn't have the antenna installation in front of it? And what will that mean in terms of financial impacts? So in this community, you know, filled, packed meeting rooms to talk to their elected officials about this. And then on top of it, the council, this has been the fourth time, and this happens in communities all across the United States, where you hear, oh, there's a new wireless ordinance or a new wireless zoning that's going to be passed. And what it's doing is really allowing these antennas to go up far easier, you know, shortening the setback or removing prior, you know, the hearing, public notice, so that people even are aware that something's going up. And each time the council has done that, the rooms, the hearing rooms have been packed, and people have really come out opposing. And it's been three times that this has been stopped. And I know the community is hoping that, again, the elected officials will listen to the people who are saying, look, I mean, actually, they have a lot of reasons. One is the health issue, the property value, impacts to bees, everything we've been talking about, you know, and do we really need this? And why are we doing a giveaway to these companies? So that's happening in Montgomery County now. I know that in Washington, D.C., it's a test city for 5G. And there, things move so fast that it's unknown. I mean, I actually haven't checked in with folks there recently, but they're having all kinds of discussions about what it should look like, putting together the just the restrictions, but they're not able to actually stop it as many in the community would like. I know the Sierra Club came and opposed, as well as many groups, just about the trees. The trees alone we could talk for hours about. So imagine in the right-of-way, if you're going to get antennas every 100 feet, or in D.C., you know, several on a block, small cell installations. Well, what about the trees? What about the root systems? Are they going to be trimmed? What's going to be the impact? Radiation aside, this is big metal things being built, tall metal things in our right-of-way, which can catch fire. You can't have a leaf overhanging on an antenna. So then there's that.
Right. Well, you know, and you know, when you put it all together, that there's no industry or regulatory agencies like the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, or the Food and Drug Administration. I mean, nobody has tested new 5G frequencies for safety. And yet we already know from all the thousands and thousands and thousands of scientific and medical reports that have been done that this kind of radiation interacts with biology, and that it is far more dangerous than previous generations of wireless technology. They make it seem like it's just a new rollout. Oh, well, there was 4G, and now there's 5G, and then there'll be 6G, and that's how the industry speaks of it. But, you know, the truth is, we already know from long-term U.S. government studies that have clearly linked this kind of wireless radiation emitted by cell phones to causing cancer. It's not an unknown. That's the thing that blows my mind. This is like telling people there's nothing wrong with a nuclear bomb in your neighborhood. It won't do anything to anybody.
Well,
that's to me, it's comparable. I mean, and that's how, when I was first introduced, and Kate Keel, I'm so grateful for her taking some time with me and walking me through it. And the one of the websites she organizes and oversees is Safe G.net, and what is 5G.info? That's safeg.net. What is 5G.info? That I was literally blown away. I mean, it really sent my heart into arrhythmia. No joke. I'm being really literal. The fear was so big, and so enormous that it reminded me of my days fighting food irradiation when they wanted to take nuclear energy and irradiate all of our food in our neighborhoods to make it sterile, but it would last longer, irradiated strawberries. Mm-hmm. I remember fighting that, and the lobbyist gave me a name. I was called Chicken Little. Mm. It didn't stop me from doing what I was doing, but everybody mm-hmm. thought I was the fool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to say that to people in the listening audience. When you learn something is dangerous for yourself, your family, your community, the nation, the biology, the environment, our whole planet, you have to do something. You cannot expect other people to do this for you. We have to all take action together. So some of the ways in which you all look at the world, are there places in the world, I know South Korea was one of the first countries to kind of get this installed. Did they have a full rollout in South Korea?
I don't know that there, I actually don't know. I don't know that there's a full rollout anywhere right now in the sense that we don't even have, you know, the 5G smartphones that are coming on the market, majority of people don't have those. So a full deployment and rollout has yet to occur.
Well, that's fortunate.
I know they're testing it in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Verizon has the contract there, from what I saw from a list, and in Arlington, Virginia, and mm-hmm. Crossroads, Chantilly, Falls Church, all in Virginia, that's Verizon.
You can, yeah, you can go online and you can even look up, you know, 5G test cities, and you'll see like Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and there's blogs where they'll list them, and then they'll link to them, and you can find out more about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they say many hands make light work. And once, you know, you might have just learned about this. You're the only one in your town or city. And let me tell you, I have talked to many, I'm the first one to learn about this in my town, folks, who, like you, take the time, learn more, and go, well, we got to do something about this. Something has to be done. And you go to your elected officials who say, oh, my hands are tied, I can't help you. So you go, then you go to your community, get educated, and then you have a lot of people talking to elected officials. And I have to say, there are elected officials who are listening.
Yeah.
I know that Patty Wood talked about Blumenthal.
Yes, Senator Blumenthal.
There's several representatives who have written the FCC and writing the FDA, you know, starting to call for accountability on this issue. Because the larger issue is that we never developed federally developed safety limits. It's not like the U.S. government never said, oh, we know what a safe level is, it's this, so let's make sure that everyone's only exposed to underneath this. Instead, we adopted, after the EPA was defunded, we adopted limits based on industry-filled groups. And that's how we got where we are today.
Yeah, and so there are these wonderful websites, ehtrust.org, 5gcrisis.com, babysafeproject.org. And one of the things, we're going to take our last break of the hour, one of the things I found as an activist from my years in so many different issues is to go to the PTA. If you have school-age children, work with the school community. That's a lot of you. And you all care about your children's health and future. And you don't want to see them as adolescents with cancer or as young people in their 20s with cancer. And you don't want to see them with diabetes or autism or, you know, attention deficit disorder. You may think I'm just making this up. This is based in medical literature that says that this kind of radiation is exacerbating the fall downs of our immune system. And when your immune system gets impacted, you can get a variety of illnesses. I know from my own life experience that this is true. Our guest is Theodora Scarrato. She is Executive Director of Environmental Health Trust. You can learn more about their work and what they teach about 5G and what you can do. Go to www.ehtrust.org. That's ehtrust.org.
This is Matt Roney with the Earth Policy Institute, www.earth-policy.org, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio and our two-hour discussion of 5G, which we will continue to do throughout the year of 2020. You know, in order to transmit these enormous amounts of data that the Internet of Things is being envisioned as, 5G technology, when fully deployed, will use millimeter waves, which don't transmit well through solid material. And that's why they'll have to have so many carriers and install base stations every 100 meters. And that means in every urban area in the world. And unlike our current or previous generations of wireless technology, as our guest Theodora Scarrato described to us earlier, in which a single antenna broadcasts over a wide area, 5G base stations and 5G devices will have multiple antennas arranged in phased arrays, and they work like, you know, a steerable laser beam that track each other. And each 5G phone will contain dozens of tiny antennas as well to work together to track and aim these focus beams. And the thing that really drove me over the edge, again, Theodora, it's like waves of horror come with this topic. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission has, quote, adopted rules permitting the effective power of those beams to be as much as 20 watts, that's 10 times more powerful than the levels permitted for current phones, and we already know the damage coming from that. So talk to us about the National Institute of Health study on wireless radiation.
Well, over 20 years ago, the EPA was defunded from setting proper, safe, federally developed safety limits, which they were in development of. And about 2 years later, the FDA said, you know, we don't even know, and they nominated the NIH to do the study, saying we don't even know what the long-term effect could be of wireless frequencies, and there need to be well-done animal studies to find out. So the NIH, the National Toxicology Program of the National Institutes of Environmental Health Sciences, started what ended up being a $30 million study on rats and mice, exposing them to cell phone radiation. And what was really important about this study is, and it is actually a very complicated study with several parts to make sure that they were not exposing, the final part of the study was a 2-year study on rats. But previous to that, they did studies to make sure that the rats and mice were not getting levels of exposure that were thermal, that were so high in heating that they would heat your tissue. And the way our levels are set, the FCC adopted limits based on industry groups, but those limits only protect us from short-term exposures and overheating related to heating tissue, not to biological effects, just from thermal effects. So that's what this study was intended to look at, is biological effects from cell phone radio frequency radiation. And they found clear evidence of tumors in the hearts of male rats, some evidence of tumors, which means there is an association, in the brains of male rats, malignant gliomas. And there were also tumors in the adrenal glands of the male rats. And then they also did another part of the study, was they sacrificed some of the mice and rats early, and they found DNA damage in the frontal cortex of the brain in male mice, and in the blood in female mice, and in the hippocampus of male rats. And that is DNA damage from exposure to cell phone radiation. And the other important thing, the study was done so carefully in terms of the exposures. So with a lot of studies, you know, where scientists in a laboratory might expose rats or mice, they don't have the equipment to ensure that those exposures are not too high or perhaps even lower than what they think they are. But they were underground bunkers brought over from Switzerland. They were underground in Chicago. And there was a lot of assessment to ensure that they were exposed to what would be non-thermal levels. So there should not have been any effects in this study. but there were a variety of effects, from the DNA damage to the tumor to damage to actually the heart in male and female animals. And then what happened was the FDA said that they don't accept the findings of the NTP. So something you can do is go online and go to the FDA website and see where they say they don't accept these findings, and then go to the National Toxicology Program website. It's like ntp.niehs.nih.gov, and look at cell phone radiation as a topic, and you'll see everything that I've been talking about right there. So they didn't even expose the animals for their entire lifetime. This was just for 2 years, and mice and rats can live, you know, up to around three years, some of them.
And when you parlay this to children in our schools, to babies in their mother's womb, to people at work. I know Japan, I read this interesting study by the Japanese who were being told, oh, we need faster and faster download. And they did a study and they found that people's attention span failed, that they became irritable, that they became unpredictable, and that some of their members of parliament, I guess it's called, said that we don't want faster download because it's destroying our population.
You know, it's sometimes I've heard elected officials say, well, we have to balance the needs of technology and the needs of education with your concerns. And I think the adequate response is, well, first, these aren't concerns. These are just facts, the scientific factual findings. And more than that, how can we even it's like balancing on children's backs, our children's future. How does this make sense? I don't see how you can balance anything, because without your health, what else is there?
And also without the planet's health. I mean, it's no small thing to disrupt the ionosphere, the magnetosphere, and to radiate the entire planet, all systems on Earth, no matter where they are, with satellites beaming these frequencies down to receivers and transmitters, and there's no way to avoid it. Once it's installed, you cannot get away from it. It's 24/7, 365 days of the year. It's frightening. I mean, I have to tell you, it's the most frightening thing I've come across since nuclear weapons. And that's just the way I feel about it. And it just... it literally put my heart into arrhythmia when I got so worked up over this issue. And then I realized, well, I'm one person. I'll do my part. And I beseech you all to do yours, to get involved and get educated. Theodora, what else would you like to share with us that might be helpful to our listeners?
Well, I would say that I do believe that we can move mountains, because it just every step, it's like, when I first started this issue, I felt like, oh, no, where does one even start? It seems so big, so overwhelming. But actually, just think really locally. It's like both locally and at the federal level. So locally, get organized, get some neighbors together, start talking to them, share information, show some videos at ehtrust.org is our website. We also have a YouTube channel where we have a lot of presentations that we've given. We just put up our UCSF at University of California, San Francisco videos. We have scientists presenting on this issue, testimony from different communities where people have gotten educated and are talking to their officials. You know, go to SafeG and what is 5G and all of these other excellent resources. And I don't believe we can accept no for an answer from those who are accountable, being our elected officials. I mean, there is something that they can do. There's always something they can do. They can write a resolution. They can write a letter. Communities have been quite effective when they're organized in slowing down the deployment, and in some instances, like in Los Altos, they've actually restricted small cells on the right-of-way, so in the residential areas. I know in Gaithersburg you can't have antennas in front of schools here in the Washington, D.C. area. So there's a lot that can happen once people are aware and talking to elected officials.
Again, here are some wonderful websites, and I want to thank Kate Keel again of Maryland, who runs safeg.net, whatis5g.info, and then ehtrust.org, grassrootsinfo.org, 5gcrisis.com, babysafeproject.org, and again, you can go to 21st21stcenturyradio.com or zoharaonline.com, and you can click on the International Appeal, Stop 5G on Earth and in Space, which will give you a summary of everything from the ground up into the magnetosphere, ionosphere, and what this means for the entire planetary population on Earth. But I agree with you, Theodora, it's to work locally. And so to everybody in the listening audience, whatever state or country you live in, go online and Google the issue 5G with the name of your town or municipality, and you will find each other. And go to the schools and go to your workplace and go to your town halls and go to your mayors and your representatives. And each of us matters. And I've learned that as an activist, having done this since I was the age of 14. Every voice counts. And again, I beseech you all to do something, because this is our opportunity to make a profound difference in protecting the Earth. Theodora, thank you so much for being with us. Is there anything in the last minute you'd like to add?
Oh, I just thank you so much. And I hope that everyone is inspired to really take action and educate your friends and family and the ones you love and your community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, start a group and you'll find people will come and they will find you. And a lot of success happening around the country right now on this.
Well, blessings to you, to all of your community at ehtrust.org, and to everybody in our listening audience. You matter. Your voice counts. Our lives are important. Our planet needs stability. And this is a no. Say no to 5G.
Talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.